He stirred blinking, completely at sea, loosed from his moorings, and apparently unaware that the timepiece salesman stood before him, wearing worn tweeds and grinning into his face. Tubby was not unaware of the man's presence, however, and he said, "Shove off, mate," in a tone calculated to be understood.
"Of course," the man said. "I can see you gents are preoccupied." "I say," he said, suddenly bending forward and gaping at the professor. "Ain't you that chap St. Vitus? Wait, that isn't it. St. Ives, I knew I'd get it. I had the good fortune of pursuing your likeness in the graphic, sir, some months back. Story about a sort of enormous skeleton on the riverbank. I believe it was out in Germany. I'm honoured, sir."
He thrust out his hand, looking admiringly at St. Ives. Then slowly his visage took on the air of commiseration.
"Asking your pardon, sir," he said, more quietly now. "But you ain't waiting for a Heathfield traveller, are you? You look worn down by care, as they say."
"What do you know of the Heathfield travellers?" I asked him. I'll admit that I didn't like the look of him, although I myself had written the account published in the Graphic concerning our exploratory trip down the Danube the previous year, from which we had returned with a giant human femur and a lower jaw set with teeth the size of dominoes. At least our watch salesman had the good sense to have read the piece.
"Only that there weren't no Heathfield travellers aboard, mate," he said in my direction. "Not tonight they weren't. The train went past Heathfield like a racehorse. Scarcely slowed down."
"Why would it do such a thing?" Tubby asked. "Damned strange behaviour for a train."
The man hesitated for a moment, and then looked around conspiratorially.
"They're keeping it on the quiet," he said in a low voice. "Mum's the word down south, don't you see? Sort of contagion, apparently."
He had St. Ives' attention now.
"Contagion?" the professor asked. "What variety?"
"I don't know the particulars, but I'll tell you that in my way of business I talked to some interesting people, so to say, and one of these people let on that the village was one great bedlam, the entire population picking straws out of their hair and crawling about on their hands and knees. Madness by the bucketful. Mayhem in the streets. I wouldn't have stopped in Heathfield for anything, for fear of getting a dose of it. And mark my words, now that I know what I know, tomorrow morning I'm going back home to Hastings, and you can be certain I'll be by way of Maidstone and not Tunbridge Wells."
St. Ives seemed to reel at the news, and Hasbro put a supportive hand on his arm.